of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture and Tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me?
Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Oh, it's wonderful to be here on American Voice Radio Network. Thanks for joining us here. Here on Herb Talk, we like to empower you, so that's what we're going to do. Frank, my engineer Frank, and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about some vaccines for the first part of the show. We got some new information on the vaccines that will cost $1 per dose. Want to know how they're going to do that? Also, we're going to talk about cancer for the second part of the show. We got a couple of issues on that we're going to cover, and we do have a quack report. But before we get into all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform, lifting them up in prayer. Hope you are too. So I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face every day, and you know, because salvation through the Lord is the way. And I did bring my devotional today, and it goes like this: out of Psalms 46 and 1 John 3. And it goes like this. relax in my healing, my holy presence, and be still while I transform your heart and your mind. Let go of the cares and worries so that you can receive my peace. Cease from striving and know that I am God. Do not be like the Pharisees who multiplied their regulations, creating their own form of godliness. They got so wrapped up in their own rules that they lost sight of me. Even today, man-made rules about how to live in a Christian life can enslave many people. Their focus is on their performance rather than on me. So it is through knowing me intimately that you become like me, and this requires spending time alone with me. So let go, relax, be still, and know that I am God. Amen to that. I'll take it. And I hope you're going to seek the Lord's face and find the way, because time is a-wasting. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. We're going to talk about vaccines tonight, and there's a little bit of vaccine news here in the Quacker. Apparently, a new rigorous peer review study, hopefully it's not junk science, was comparing some health outcomes on the vaccinated versus unvaccinated children. And so the study was published in the Journal of Translational Science. Epidemiologists from the School of Public Health and Jackson State University reported no reductions in incidence of measles, mumps, rubella, or influenza, or rotavirus among the vaccinated children. So furthermore, the team of scientists led by the epidemiologist Dr. Anthony Nawson concluded that vaccines may be the culprit of the drastic rise in neurodevelopmental disorders and chronic illness such as allergies and autism and ADHD. So what they're saying is the vaccinated people with these diseases, they found the vaccines didn't reduce the incidence of the disease. And this kind of supported Dr. Andrew Wakefield's report of 1998, his research paper that was published in The Lancet. He found a link between the MMR vaccine and inflammatory bowel disease. Of course, they retracted his research and kind of tried to ruin him. Of course, you know, the powers that be. But shortly after the publication of Nawson's study, it was targeted by Retraction Watch, you know, because, you know, as Dr. Anthony Morris said, vaccines are the most highly guarded secret in medicine. And there's got to be a reason for that, right? All right, moving along the Quack Report, Germany plans to introduce fines, oh goodness, of $2,800 for patients who refuse to get their kids vaccinated. Right. Germany's Minister of Health has decided to introduce some tough new measures to clamp down on those that refuse to get their children vaccinated. Under the new legislation, which will likely go into effect next month, parents who do not consult with their healthcare providers about the vaccines will and don't get them taken care of will receive about a €2,500 euro fine, which is $2,800 US dollars. The children will face expulsion from daycare facilities as well as public school. Last but not least in the Quack Report, some legislation would give corporations the power to forcibly vaccinate you. God, there's vaccine news everywhere tonight. And collect DNA records. Yep, this is a new bill called H.R. 1313. It's called the Preserving Employee Wellness Program Act. It's moving through Congress, and it would allow companies to require employees to undergo genetic testing and also enroll in a mandatory vaccine program or risk losing their jobs. Now, a lot of companies now have the mandatory flu shot, so that's the testing ground for making sure all adults get their 13 vaccines. That's what they're moving into. Currently, laws like the 2008 Generic Privacy and Non-Discrimination Act called GINA prohibits giving employers this kind of power over their employees, but this new bill is going to circumvent that because it sneakily gets around previous bills that protect your privacy by stating they do not apply when genetic tests or vaccines are part of a workplace wellness program. So if your employer has one of those, you better just keep close monitoring on that. So what this bill, according to, this is Jennifer Mathis. She's the Director of Policy and Legal Advocacy for the Brazen Center of Mental Health. She's a law firm there, civil rights group. She says what this bill would do is completely take away the protections of existing laws. It's geared to the thinking that lose your rights for the greater good is basically that is what that's moving towards. So FYI out there, vaccines, we're going to cover a little bit more in this hour, so don't go anywhere. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about vaccines. $1 per dose. Sounds like a super-duper deal, right? Unless, of course, you don't want vaccines. Vaccines are becoming kind of an industry in themselves, and they are transcending more of the medical and economic real estate than we ever imagined. So, for instance, aerial spraying of vaccines, which we've mentioned before, it's called nano gene delivery. And it's becoming popular in areas where people aren't able to get to medical facilities. So governments also like this option, as it costs about $1 per dose to give people vaccines this way. Now, bioengineers in Switzerland explain that by absorbing these vaccines through the skin or breathing them in, they said there's going to be fewer side effects. It's cheaper, and the ability to vaccinate hundreds of thousands of people at the same time is accomplished. So vaccinating people that would normally not be vaccinated is also within this delivery. So we're going to take a peek at this new vaccine delivery and this technology and what we can do to protect ourselves. So bioengineered delivery of this disease is what we're looking at, because that's what a vaccine, it's an artificial infection. Military bioweapons are not the only weapons that are unleashed on the world. So civilians are also under attack with this new technology that puts virulent strains of disease into tiny particles, and then they're suspended in a powder and then dispersed into the air. So this, in this fashion, these new vaccines can be tested very inexpensively and without the prior consent of the people. And you're probably saying, well, that's not right. They can't do that. Well, hang on. Articles on this technology already in use have been published in the Journal of Nature Biotechnology and Nanotechnology and Chemistry. And much of the testing has been carried out in the third world countries and also in Australia. So what does it take? Well, the vaccine industry can make billions of dollars more profit by making aerosol vaccines costing less to produce. These vaccines do not require refrigeration or a trained medical professional to administer them to each individual. So all of the pharmaceutical company, all they need is a single bacterial or viral particle called an antigen molecule. And we're told by the scientists that the disease in these aerosol vaccines are considered non-virulent, if you believe that. We're also told that the immune system responds to this single antigen, and when we're exposed to this virulent form of disease later on, the immune system can make an antibody pretty quickly, blah, blah, blah. So this is all theory on science's part. And the industry is hoping to use this new form of vaccination for all kinds of diseases, even including cancer and heart disease. Here is a quote from Jeff Hubble. He's PhD at Swiss Tropical Institute, and he says this: the platform for aerosol vaccines offers a huge advantage over current vaccine methods. We seek to exploit the slow interstitial flow of disease towards the lymph nodes. We hope this vaccine technique will offer sustained immunity with a single dose. Well, notice the words he used. We want to exploit the flow of disease to your lymph nodes. I mean, that sounds just fantastic, doesn't it? Well, they just admitted that they're injecting you with disease. Okay, they're not injecting you for protection against disease. It's an interstitial flow of disease. All right, well, it's all skin deep, basically. According to scientists, the aerosol vaccines land on your skin and then penetrate to invade the lymph nodes, just like injected vaccines tend to do. Or if you're breathing in the nanoparticles, it's another entryway. So the tiny particles of the vaccine powders have been engineered to replicate the cell walls of disease and to engage your immune system. This is what they're telling us. So the human immune system does not recognize foreign bioengineered invaders. And scientists state the immune system will offer more of a moderate complement reaction, not as severe. And science is saying that this supposedly is just enough disease to make antibodies. However, you know, the logistics and concerns of this type of treatment are, you probably already thought about them because you guys are smart out there. Aerosol vaccination, it's the same dose for everybody, adults, children, pets, right? Birds, wildlife, all going to get it. There's a risk of duplicate exposure. So let's say you're in France and they sprayed over there and now you're in America and they're spraying this week, right? What about no informed consent? And if you don't have any informed consent, you have no documentation you've been vaccinated. And if you've not been vaccinated and have no idea you have been vaccinated, no documentation on it, there's plausible deniability for adverse events and also the cause of an effect of a diagnosis. You know, doctors are not going to know it was from a vaccine. You don't know you had it. All right, let's look at some future plans. There seems to be more things being sprayed into the atmosphere than in the past decade. And, you know, some speculate that, you know, adding this nanotechnology powdered vaccine garbage to chemtrails would not be too difficult to achieve. But as childhood vaccines move into this area called vector controls, there may soon be really no need of having to produce proof of vaccination from the health department if they're just going to aerosol you all the time. Okay, that's what they call vector controls. And if there's this, you know, just like in Florida or with the Zika virus in South America, you know, that's a vector control. And so the governments feel they have a right to pound you with whatever they want to pound you with from the air. So the pharmaceutical industry is really investing in the aerial delivery of several vaccines that they call vaccine enhancements. And here's the list so far: the influenza vaccine, the AIDS vaccine, the H1N1 bird flu influenza, the polio vaccine, and Zika virus vaccine. So they want to aerosol all of that, and you probably wouldn't know if you had it or not. You know, that's scary in itself, isn't it? You wouldn't know if you had a medical treatment. And the doctors wouldn't know either if you got sick with something. This is really irresponsible from just that perspective. All right, and so let's look at these unmanned aerial vaccine vehicles that they're coming up with to do this with. The Harvard and MIT Health Science and Technology departments have announced their designs for these aerial delivery of vaccines. And if you are a subscriber to our newsletter tomorrow in the HealthQuest newsletter that goes out, you'll actually see a picture of this vehicle right from the MIT labs. It'll be included in this week's newsletter. So you can sign up for free if you want to go to the powerherbs.com website and click on books and newsletters and sign up for free. There's no subscription, and you can get this kind of information each and every week, which is going to help you. Now, of course, it's email delivery only newsletter, so there's no hard copy that we snail mail. So you have to have email to get it. Just want to tell you that. All right. So Harvard, MIT, they got these vehicles. They've developed these unmanned drones with grant money that was supplied by guess who? Hey, Frank, do you want to guess who supplied the grant money for the vehicles? Anytime you want to take a guess? I know Frank sometimes likes to chime in here. Come on, your favorite couple. You know who I'm talking about. Yep. It's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Yes, they have funded the development of these vaccine delivery drones. According to Professor George Barbastias, the program intended for the vehicles to be utilized first in third world countries that are easily deployed by healthcare workers simply by using their cell phones, and then they can spray the inhabitants of hard-to-reach tribes. Now, John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Health Public Health in Pittsburgh stated that using drones to deliver vaccines will save money, improve the vaccine rates, and John Hopkins ran a computer simulation, and it determined that the aerial delivery of these vaccines by drones will be cheaper and faster, and it will achieve the saturation point desired compared to the land-based methods traditionally used now. So their findings were published in the June 2016 journal Vaccine. However, the research team stated this. They said this is Leah Hadari. She worked on the project. She said, when we're considering changes such as introducing drone delivery to a system as dynamic as a vaccine supply, we might see unexpected consequences, not all of which are positive, end of quote. So what did they see in that simulation that they're not telling the public? Well, some of those, you know, logistic concerns I mentioned, you know, you're getting sprayed more than once with the same stuff. It's the same dose for everybody. No documentation, so you don't know. Doctors can't help you since they don't know. All right, they don't care. The governments don't care. They just say, spray it. Just spray it. So when we try to conceive of this notion of spraying vaccines from planes or drones, we can't help but think this has to be a reaction to the growing movement that is objecting to vaccines and the risks that inoculations present, right? Now, author Joseph Farrell, he's a professor of economics at the University of California, he wrote that with regard to the vaccines, it appears that if you can't prevail in the court of public opinion, then you simply just spray the public without their consent. He was being facetious, of course, but he reduces the whole aerial spraying of vaccines to an agenda of experimentation of vaccines and generic modification by spraying involuntary subjects. So he also concludes that spraying people in specific vectors is a real phenomenon, and it is serious. I'll say, you know, some people down in Florida with that Zika scare from last year, they got sprayed by helicopter, they got sprayed by drone, they got sprayed by crop dusters, carrier pigeon, you name it, they got sprayed, right? And so a lot of people got sick, wound up in the hospital, all kind of serious conditions. And there was all these toxins, and it was all what? It was like, you know, bug spray stuff that was in their system. It was like, you know, Raid and running through their veins. You know, people die from that. I mean, it says right on the can of Raid, you know, don't ingest, don't breathe in. Of course, they're spraying everybody. Frank weighs in. He says the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 to 15%, quote by Bill Gates. 1.12 billion he plans on killing, apparently. Thank you, Frank. I know, it's an old quote by Bill. Sometimes they do, you know, show their dirty little petticoats so you know where they're coming from. You know, if you're worried about somebody, you know, that's what one thing I do. I seek the Lord and I say, you know, help me to have wisdom and discernment. And if there's something seriously wrong here, let's see the dirty little petticoat. Let's see it. So you know what's going on. Well, you know, you're probably saying, hey, you know, Wendy, this is all very informative, but, you know, I don't think they're going to have the authority. I don't think pharmaceutical companies are going to get the authority to do that. They already have congressional approval, actually. Yep. Dr. Joseph McCullough reported that the 21st Century Cures Act, made into law by Congress last December 2016, allows for pharmaceutical companies to test vaccines on the public without prior consent. Of course, you know, the language in the law, the bill states this: if the drug, device, or vaccine does not pose a more than minimal health risk, they can do it. Well, when are you going to get the truth about a vaccine from the pharmaceutical company? Come on. So this new law also reduces the quality standards of evidence that the drug companies submit to the FDA, and it suggests that, quote, informed consent is not feasible. Uh-huh. Not feasible. You don't need to know we're about to spray you with God knows what. You know, I don't know of any other more profound example of slavery than that. So, you know, where your body's not your own, it's property of the government. That's, you know, they're standing on that. So we have a U.S. Congress and a Supreme Court which have already established that vaccines are, quote, unavoidably unsafe. So these entities have also given the drug companies immunity, as you know, from all liability, and have over the years made the amendments to the vaccine court laws, making it pretty impossible for injured parties to comply. So one attorney, Robert Moxley, understands this all too well, and he said that any effort to upset the herd immunity is not tolerated. He says, one can only conclude that bribery and corruption are the reasons for this travesty. He goes on to say, the vaccine system embodies the notion that there is no vaccine injury, and therefore lack of accountability leads to increased risk. Oh, yeah. Now, investigative journalist Cheryl Atkinson, she's been real popular on topics like this. She says, since January 2014, the number of flu vaccine cases conceded by the government is more than doubled the previous 8 years combined. So adverse events from flu vaccine. Also, she says the rise in the number of vaccine injury cases that the government has conceded to is up by 55% in a little over a year. End of quote. Well, so they know, but they don't care. That's the sad part. It's really sad when people in power don't care. Well, and then there's the safety not being a priority. You know, we, as I reported earlier, I think just this past week, you know, 40% of the medical research for scientific studies in medical journals that were done on the wrong cell lines and the wrong disease. Well, there's this serious lack of safety protocols, and the vaccine industry is in that same sloppy boat. That's right. According to 2012, a report by GBI Research, there were 14 recalls on vaccine batches last year due to serious adverse reactions, labeling errors, quality control defects that involved potency problems, contaminants, and particles of glass, as well as other manufacturing defects. 14 batches. Okay. All right, so in the 1980s, you remember the vaccine literature in the 80s informed patients there was a 1 in 100,000 chance of an adverse reaction involving a vaccine? And, you know, it was kind of promoted that it's very unlikely that you or your child would be harmed by the treatment. Well, overall, the rate now is 20 out of 100,000, and that's probably low. And here's some other stats. 4,605 deaths from the flu vaccine in 2016 reported by the CDC last year. 4,000 people died from the flu shot, over 4,000. And then in Texas, 2,497 people died by getting the rabies vaccine. So you have protection from disease. It's called your immune system, and the medicinal plants, God says, are here for the service of man and for our protection. He's instructed us to use those. So herbs can strengthen your immune system, cleanse the blood, inhibit Ebola viruses, reverse a vaccine, and a whole lot more. So you want to know more? You want to call Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog. That number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Of course, the website has a lot of information there, thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. Taking a break. Be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Told me. Turn your magic on.
Hey, we're back here on Herb Talk. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to check out some cancer topics here today. I'm sorry if I rocked your world with the vaccine. Sometimes, it's not all bad news because, you know, God says he's got some herbs here he wants you to use for the healing of the nations, and they're here for the service of man, and God wouldn't say that if he wasn't serious about it. He can't lie, so there are options here, and so I think we're not expected, according to his standards, to rely on pharmaceuticals. We're here to rely on him. His immune system he gave you, and the herbs to empower that system. So that's the message, the good news, if you will. And you're more powerful than you think. And I think a lot of people are figuring that out, which is so cool. All right, we're going to talk about throat cancer. You know anybody that has throat cancer? According to the National Center Institute of Throat Cancer, also known as larynx or pharyngeal cancer, it's very difficult to treat. They say throat cancer is difficult to treat. Notice I didn't say cure because modern medicine really doesn't cure a thing, basically because they got all the wrong cell lines and they're testing the wrong diseases. I think that's one of the reasons. So the National Cancer Institute is reporting that if a condition is caught early, they say there's a 90%, you know, plausibility of remission. And I use the term remission because they don't cure a thing. Now, the unlucky individual with throat cancer has a lot of physical real estate at risk. The cancer cells usually start behind the nose as these flat, thin cells, which kind of look like fish scales, if you will. And then the cancer can spread to affect the voice box, your thyroid, your neck, your nose, your esophagus. So these diseases usually affect adults over the age of 50, and it's 10 times more likely to affect men than it is women. So white men especially have a 50% higher risk rate of throat cancer than African American men. Now, throat cancer may not be as prevalent as other cancers, with about 13,000 cases a year, with about 4,000 deaths from the disease. But what can we do about it and prevent it? Let's just see what tools God has for us, right? But first, let's go over some symptoms. You may have throat cancer. If you have some of the following symptoms, you've got some coughing, ear pain, persistent sore throat more than 6 weeks, pain or difficulty swallowing, a voice change, hoarseness for more than 6 weeks, weight loss, a lump or pain, painless sore throat. You know, you got a sore throat, but it's not very painful. And you have these symptoms, maybe a sore in your mouth that hasn't healed. It's been there for over a month. Or maybe you have a sore in your neck that hasn't healed very well either. Now, in addition to those symptoms, you could have difficulty breathing and experiencing bleeding in your throat. Some other signs would be persistent neck pain, bleeding from the mouth, persistent sinus congestion, bad breath, sore tongue, white, red, or dark patches inside the mouth, numbness of the mouth, a lump on the lip, mouth, or gums, enlarged neck glands, and slurred speech where cancer is affecting the tongue. Well, let's look at some complicated risks, because throat cancer can spread to the trachea, the bronchial, and the lung, and some factors which can cause the development of throat cancer are exposure to asbestos, alcoholism, Epstein-Barr viruses, papillomaviruses, poor dental hygiene, tobacco use, especially smokeless tobacco and cigars, as well as a diet that lacks adequate vitamins from fruits and vegetables. Now, cigarette smokers have a 25-fold increased risk of cancer over non-smokers. And other factors that can contribute are low immune system, exposure to the nickel refining, if you work in that field, textile fibers, woodworking, where you breathe in a lot of dust particles, gastroesophageal reflux disease. These can all contribute to your risk. So what does medicine do about it? Well, modern medicine offers chemotherapy, radiation and surgery and, of course, a lot of drugs. And one drawback to the radiation therapy is that it can also cause osteocirrhosis, which is a reduction in blood supply to your jaw, which can risk your jaw dying, and they have to remove it. So if the disease spreads to the neck and lymph nodes, the remission rate is going to drop to 50%. And if surgery is recommended, most patients will suffer the loss of their larynx, their voice box, their lymph nodes in their neck area. In severe cases, may require the removal of the trachea, the jaw, the upper palate, and part of your face. And if this is the case, the patient is left with a permanent opening in the throat called a stoma, and all this will leave the patient with difficulty eating and swallowing, stiffness of the neck, neck pain, respiratory problems, and speech problems. So the longevity and quality of life for the patient is really severely diminished. And if the cancer spreads to other parts of the body, which is most likely when cancer is surgically removed and you go the allopathic route, well, modern medicine will write the patient off as incurable. And then the game plan shifts from remission to just pain relief and exit care. That's what it shifts to. So, well, you know, oncology has 100% mortality rate. Yeah. Got to look it up. Let's look at some of the diets that will help us out. Because research has suggested that diets high in processed meat, especially red meats, will increase your risk of the head and neck cancers. Now, a study also reported that a diet with raw and cooked vegetables offered protection against head and throat cancers. So natural vitamin E helps prevent these white patches that are precursors for the cancer on the mucosal surfaces of the head, nose, and throat. And you will find natural vitamin E in your cold-pressed vegetable oils, sprouted seeds, sunflowers, nuts like almonds, whole grains, Brussels sprouts, peas, wheat germ, asparagus, green leafy vegetables, spirulina and barley grass, as well as beta-carotene, reported also to help with the early stage cancer. So you have a lot of control over reducing risk of disease through your diet, and that's a whole lot of control. Yeah, a lot of people feel powerless. They don't need to feel powerless. But you know, you don't want to wait till these things get out of hand. Let's talk about a cancer case. There have been cases of throat cancer that have been cured, I mean, really cured. There was a case of a 48-year-old male who had a large mass the size of a small grapefruit, about 4 inches in his throat. His doctors did a biopsy, which reported he had a malignant cancer. The cancer involved his thyroid and his vocal cords, and he had extreme difficulty swallowing and breathing. His doctor said that the biopsy showed that the cancer was dissolving his thyroid and his vocal cords and the sides of his throat. So the patient did not want surgery or any of the options the doctors gave him, even when the doctors told him he had a window of about 6 weeks or less to seek treatment. So instead, he opted to do a combination of natural therapies. So the combination therapy thing, you know, it's not just one thing. There's no one silver bullet. It's usually a combination of things that help us out. So with a disease like cancer, you want to unleash all the firepower at your disposal. This is not time to, you know, mess around. This is you know, hit the ground running. And this means you want to do your organ cleanses, especially your blood cleanse, because this will remove a lot of toxins that cause a metabolic stumbling block for regeneration and healing. So you want to get that out of there. Also, you want to do juicing. You want to juice your vegetables and your fruits and get rid of the fiber, the bulky fiber, and just get the live nutrition and the enzymes, because this will be fuel for your cells. But it also lifts the burden on the digestive system from having to extract a lot of that nutrition through fiber. So you'll get the energy, you get the nutrition, but you give your liver and your pancreas and your gallbladder and your digestive tract a break, which means they're not spending a lot of energy on it, and that energy can go to healing. So also external herb poultices are helpful, like castor oil packs, also eating lots of raw garlic, like 4 cloves a day. Very much of an immune booster. Hydrotherapy with cold and hot water treatments to stimulate blood flow quickly to certain areas because blood brings healing. And exercise, of course, as well as positive thinking and getting some massage therapy and reflexology going, because stimulating the bottom of your feet, you got lots of nerves down there and they all lead to organs of the body. So when you do foot reflexology, you stimulate those areas, you know, brings them back to life, wakes them up. So getting back to our case here. So within 2 weeks, this man with a cancerous mass, when he did all these combinations, he said it shrunk to half the size, 2 inches, within 2 weeks. And then he could swallow, he could breathe more easily. He kept going with these natural therapies every day. He was very conscientious and he did his due diligence. The mass kept shrinking, and by 6 months, he was completely free of the cancerous mass, and his doctors re-examined him and pronounced him cancer-free. So this man saved his thyroid, his voice box, pretty much saved his life. And with normal, healthy voice, he was able to give his testimony. And one important thing to remember is that if you want to heal yourself with natural therapies, you have to get aggressive with the therapies and not be afraid of them. So if you want to be fearful, be afraid of what the medical establishment's going to do to you. That's where you should be, you know, worried is there. You know, because I get lots of calls and people are just, you know, they're just not believers, you know. And the other thing that I hear a lot is, well, my health insurance pays for the allopathic oncologist that, you know, it'll pay for my radiation and my chemo and my surgery. Uh-huh. You know, so why are we talking then? You know, it's just a mindset, and a lot of people think you can do both. You can do surgery and chemo, radiation, and herbs. No, you can't, because all that allopathic toxicity is going to just, you know, negate all your herbal therapies and things. So you should pick one form of therapy and stick with it. You know, if you're going to go the surgery, chemo route, okay. But don't expect to, you know, do a little of that and do a little herb therapy and think that's going to win the day. It's not. Well, let's just review then quickly that, you know, lots of herbs are out there. Let me just give you a quick list of herbs that I would use if it were me. I would use bentonite clay. It draws out a lot of impurities. You would use a charcoal because it absorbs 3,000 times its weight in toxins. Of course, both those ingredients are in our bowel cleanse product at thepowerherbs.com. Golden seal has a lot of antibacterial properties. Mullein is great for sick glands, and a lot of times disease attacks your lymph nodes, a lot of your glands, so you definitely want to use mullein. Garlic, of course, we mentioned because it has a very broad spectrum use for bacteria, viruses, fungus. It's just great for the blood as well. Poke root and berries have a lot of anti-cancer variants in them, very strong. You would use them in small amounts. Let's see, chaparral also has some very strong antioxidant properties and destroys tumors, but the FDA warns against using it. Of course they would. Of course you want to use that in a controlled instance as well. Red clover has cumaric acid, which stops the clumping of cancer cells, so they don't, you know, they don't get power and take over. Also, echinacea root for immune system support. And, of course, your lovely dandelion root. Windsor Medical University in 2012 accidentally discovered dandelion root kills all known cancer cells. So you can check out their research online, just reporting on that. And, of course, we do also offer the dandelion tincture extract. It's a concentrate, so you can check that out. So if you're interested in learning more about empowering yourself against diseases like this throat cancer, you diet, combination therapies, get your herbs rolling. Thepowerherbs.com, if you want more information or a free product catalog, give them a call at 866-229-3663 or visit them on thepowerherbs.com. Of course, you can download the catalog from there if you want. Just go ahead and put your catalog. It's free in your cart and check out. There'll be no charge. And then you get a receipt with a download link, so you can download the catalog if you want to do that. All right, we're moving along. We're going to talk a little bit about stomach cancer. We're in the digestive areas today, of course. And you may not hear so much about stomach cancer, you know, because those who are diagnosed with it have, you know, a real challenge on their hands. There are some famous people who have died from the disease, like John Wayne in 1979. Napoleon Bonaparte was said to have died from a stomach cancer in 1821. However, new evidence has shown that his private wine collection was poisoned with arsenic, suggesting he may have been poisoned instead. Other famous people to have died from stomach cancer are the poet James Baldwin in 1987, the lawyer Patrick Henry in 1799, Dr. Fred Rogers in 2003, film producer John Ford, clothes designer Liz Claiborne, DeFrost Kelly from Star Trek, and TV director Sidney Pollack. So we have like 76,000 Americans that live with stomach cancer, get a diagnosis, then they follow their doctor's advice, less than a 30% survival rate in 5 years. Well, let's check out some of the risks. According to the American Cancer Society, about 24,590 men and women get the diagnosis of stomach cancer each year. More men than women get this disease and usually occurs later in life or after the age of 65. Average age is about 69. So the average age at death from stomach cancer is 72. So the risk that we take when we get stomach cancer is 1 in 111. And this particular disease is higher in certain ethnic groups like Hispanics, Blacks, and Asians. Now, patients who have a precursor condition of stomach ulcers have, and they have them treated with surgery, maybe they have a stomach resection done, this will increase your risk of getting stomach cancer. I don't know if medicine tells you, but it's the fact. Now, for some reason, people with blood type A are at a greater risk of getting this disease. And if the family tree of yours has these types of conditions, maybe they have stomach polyps and ulcers, you're at a higher risk of getting this stomach cancer problem. Now, according to where you live, the American Cancer Society says your risk can increase depending on where you're living. If you live in less developed countries, we're told that your risk is higher. And statistically, the risk of getting stomach cancer will increase in these regions, Japan, China, South or Eastern Europe, South and Central America. And we find less stomach cancer in Northern and Western Africa and South Central Asia and North America. So less cancer than we think. And where you work can also be an indicator. American Cancer Society also sees a connection between the increased incidence of stomach cancer and the type of occupation you have. For instance, your risk will be higher if you work in industries that involve coal, metal, or rubber. All right, so, and we're also told stomach cancer stems from a bacterial infection, the Helicobacter pylori H. pylon infection. So people who eat a diet rich in smoked meats, salty fish, and pickled vegetables will create an environment where the bacteria thrives. Tobacco use can also increase the risk, as well as being overweight. So having stomach cancer can lead to secondary conditions such as anemia and changes in the stomach lining called menetheter disease. All right, so how does it start? Well, the stomach wall is comprised of several layers of tissue, the mucosal, which is the innermost layer, the mucolacinous middle layer, and the ursal, if I can speak tonight, the outer layer. Okay, let's just say outer layer. So stomach cancer attacks the innermost mucosal layer first and likes to spread to the other layers, and modern medicine thinks it knows that what would make the cells of the stomach lining develop cancer, and in some cases, patients experience conditions like gastritis, and their glands in their stomach are reduced and they become eliminated, and it could be an instigator for the factor, so they're kind of speculating on the cause. Inflammation, they know, plays a role, and it makes the immune system more reactive. And they say it also can put people at risk of autoimmune situations. And some research, they say, suggests that subtypes of the bacteria can chemically react to other foods and mutate the DNA in the stomach cell wall. So this form of research, they've noticed foods that help out, that can protect your fruits and vegetables with lots of antioxidants. They help prevent stomach cancer by blocking cell mutations. So again, diet, biggest ally you have. So let's look at some of the diet foods. You want, you know, your vegetables, your asparagus, beets, bell peppers, Brussels sprouts, celery, collards, cucumbers, carrots, cabbage, kale, kelp, mustard greens, onions, radishes, squash, spinach. So according to cancer research, these types of foods detoxify the tissue of the stomach, and it can even reverse cancer if you have it. Check that. That's science saying that now. On your fruit list, all your berries, apples, of course, apricots, avocados, bananas, currants, figs, grapefruits, grapes, kiwis, lemon, limes, mangoes, melons, oranges, peaches, pears, pineapple, and raisins. So now herbs that are very beneficial are going to include ginger, horseradish, fennel, gentian root, dandelion root, alfalfa, spirulina, rosemary, green tea, garlic, and of course your capsaicin cayenne, because blood brings healing, and that is a blood stimulator, that herb. So the nutrients in these herbs help balance the pH in the stomach, neutralize the carcinogens, stop tumor growth, protect your cell DNA from damage. Also, willow bark and meadowsweet can be used to reduce inflammation and pain if you don't want to use drugs. So you got tools. I mean, you got the spotlight of tools here. God shines a light. Can't miss it. There it is. So, you know, weak systems with low stamina often undermine recovery. So if you've had radiation and chemo, these are evasive surgery. It will weaken the system. People on long convalescence will... I would use some ginseng, either Siberian or American. If you're on a long convalescence, that'll give your cells stamina, and it's going to need stamina for healing. So if you're looking for the dandelion root, the gentian root, the pain anti-inflammatories, your garlic, your horseradish, all these digestive herbs, they're on the powerherbs.com website. Of course, you can call and get a catalog if you don't do the internet thing. And that number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Yes, we do send out a hard copy. So if you want a catalog sent to you snail mail, we will send that free of charge. All you have to do is call and request one. We do have a catalog hotline, so you can leave your information on there if you want, or you can speak to a live customer service representative and request the catalog. Either way is fine. Or you can download the catalog by requesting a free one through the website at thepowerherbs.com. Hey, and don't forget, if you're on there, do sign up for the newsletters. That we have a couple of them, and they're free, no subscription at all. The American Survival goes out on Tuesday, and then the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So if you would like to get a Health Quest tomorrow, do sign up. Just, you know, put the newsletter in your shopping cart along with your free catalog and check out, and you'll be put on the list. You can opt off anytime you want, and get empowered each and every week. And you can share that information with others to empower others. You know, the gift of empowerment, health. I mean, goodness, something to share that's beneficial for once, right? Something that will help somebody. Oh, man, it's so rewarding. It really is. And, you know, who gets all the credit? Not me. God gets all the credit. God's herbs are good, and he gets all the credit every day, all the time. Let's not forget who we need to give the credit to. Oh, I can see by the clock I'm out of time. Frank, this hour went so quickly. Well, If you have a health topic you want me to include next time, do drop me an email or give me a call. Try to work it into the show. You know who it is. I'm a listening. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, or prevent disease. So seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.